नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवतम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhadev, text number 14. I'll just read the Sanskrit once and we do word for word. Bhagavan Rishabha Sanya Atma Tantra Swayang Nitya Nivritanarta Parampara Kevalananda Nubhava Ishvareva Viparitvat Karman Yara Bhamana Kalenanu Gatang Dharmang Achara Neno Pashikayan Atad Vidhang Sama Upashanto Maitra Karuniko Dharmartha Yasha Prajanan Damrita Varodhena Griheshu Lokang Niyamayat Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishabha. Sangya. Named. Atma Tantra. Fully independent. Swayam. Personally. Nitya. Eternally. Nivritta. Free from. Anartha. Of things not wanted. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Parampara. The continual succession. One after another. Kevala. Only. Ananda Anubhava. Full of transcendental bliss. Ishvara. The Supreme Lord, the Controller. Eva. Indeed. Viparitavat. Just like the opposite. Karmani. Material activities. Arabhamana, performing. Kalena, in course of time. Anugatam, neglected. Dharmam, the varnashram dharma. Acharyanena, by executing. Upashikshayan, teaching. Atat vidham, persons who are in ignorance. Sama, equipoised. Upashanta, undisturbed by the material senses. Maitra, very friendly to everyone. Karunika, very merciful to all. Dharma, religious principles. Artha, economic development. Yasha, reputation. Praja, sons and daughters. Ananda, material pleasure. Amrita, eternal life, avarodena, for achieving, greheshu, in household life, lokam, the people in general, niyamayat, he regulated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. So it's a long translation. Please try to hear. Being in the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhadev was fully independent because his form was spiritual, eternal, and full of transcendental bliss. He eternally had nothing to do with the four principles of material misery, birth, death, old age, and disease. Nor was he materially attached. He was always equipoised, and he saw everyone on the same level. He was unhappy to see others unhappy, and he was a well-wisher of all living entities. Although he was a perfect personality, the Supreme Lord and controller of all, he nonetheless acted as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Varnashram Dharma and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Varnashram Dharma had become neglected. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant public how to perform duties within the Varnashram Dharma. In this way, he regulated the general populace in householder life, enabled them to develop religion and economic well-being, and to attain reputations, sons and daughters, material pleasure, and finally, eternal life. By his instructions, he showed how people could remain householders and at the same time become perfect by following the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Varnashram Dharma is meant for imperfect conditioned souls. It trains them to become spiritually advanced in order to return home back to Godhead. A civilization that does not know the highest aim of life is no better than an animal society. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nate Vidhu Svartagating Hivishnu, a human society is meant for elevation to spiritual knowledge so that all of the people can be freed from the clutches of birth, death, old age, and disease. The Varnashram Dharma enables human society to become perfectly fit for getting out of the clutches of Maya. And by following the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma, one can become successful. In this regard, see Bhagavad Gita 3:21 through 24. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we're hearing about Lord Rishabhadev being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although it appears that he has a material body, his body was fully spiritual. Unfortunately, in the material world, it's hard for us to realize what is a spiritual body. It says, Avajananti mang mudha manushing tanum ashritam. Those who are fools, rascals, they misunderstand my appearance, my body, as something mundane and material. So the material world created by Krishna, before this material existence, Krishna existed. There was no Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the planets. Everything that we see here is just a temporary manifestation. And it was provided by Krishna, just like a prison house. We see the government, they provide a prison for those criminals. And the purpose of the prison house is not just to have a prison house and that the criminals can enjoy their three meals a day and their prison life, but ultimately to reform themselves and get out of the prison and enjoy the free life. So we have this opportunity in the human form of life to get out of the prison house, to go back home to the spiritual kingdom. And Krishna, because being very kind, very merciful, and feeling compassion for all, just like a parent would naturally feel compassionate for his sons and daughters and those who are dependent, you naturally want to give good guidance. It's not like a blind person leading another blind person to fall into a ditch or a well. So many blind people in this world profess to have knowledge or understanding. Unfortunately, they're not guided or are not following the authoritative teachings, because the real authority is Krishna, and Krishna is the source of the Vedas. He is the source of knowledge for Lord Brahma. He is Vyasadeva, compiler of all the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all his representatives in the form of Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada. He's come to deliver the message of the six Goswamis, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different than what Lord Rishabhadev's mission was, to instruct people and to guide the fallen, conditioned, ignorant souls how to awaken from ignorant life and become truly happy and truly blissful by not having to repeatedly go through the cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. And we're all seeing it, they say, as sure as taxes and death. Everyone is going to die. But unfortunately, we're thinking, that may be true, but not today, at least not for some time. I've seen others die, I've seen others get diseased. And when one is in a diseased or awkward condition, he may often pray very sincerely. They say there are no atheists in the foxholes in the military. You know, you dig a trench and you protect yourself. But then when the enemy is coming and the bullets are flying and the bombs are exploding all around, and you're seeing everyone is getting blown to pieces and dying all around you, all of a sudden you become a little bit hopeful that there may be a God and he will protect you. So, you know, you're praying very sincerely. So the spiritual master, the guru, Lord Rishabhadev, awakens us, awakened his sons, that don't waste your time in the material existence like the cats and dogs, the hogs and pigs, who are simply all day, it says working hard all day for sense gratification, but the pigs and dogs don't nearly work as hard as the human beings. Prabhupada would often say how the attached materialist would wake up early in the morning, and then before, while all his family members are sleeping, and then journey for 1 hour, 2 hours, sometimes in a very congested train in New York. When I would go on Sankirtan, sometimes in the morning, the train would arrive on 2nd Avenue, near where Prabhupada's 2nd Avenue was, because I would go up to Midtown to work the Sankirtan. And the train was completely packed. Every train, every car, hardly room to squeeze in there, and you're standing like a sardine, you know, the sardines in a can. So everyone's packed on a crowded, congested train, and sometimes in India, they're not in the train, they're on the train, they're hanging for dear life from outside the train, and they're going to work, and very dusty, very noisy, everyone's beeping horns, isn't it? they don't know how to, they can't live without beeping horns. And it's very troublesome to go to work and all day you're working 8 hours, 10 hours, double shift, overtime. And then after putting a full day's of work in, you have to commute back. Sometimes people fly. They go from Toronto to Montreal or from New York, fly to Chicago, sometimes even go to the West Coast for business. And what is this business for? To make money so my family can become happy. I can have reputation, as described here, that he enabled people to have reputation, sons, daughters, material pleasure, that everything's provided by Krishna so we can actually think that, yes, I am God, I am the enjoyer, I am number one. They say, you know, they have number one dad, number one, I am number, everyone likes to be number one. All the competition in the world is so that people can show their prowess and their, but this is all described as illusion because it's temporary. That happiness is flickering happiness. It's like they say, like a horse eggs or flower in the sky. The horse doesn't lay eggs, and there's no flowers that just come out of the sky. So that word phantasmagoria, or the illusion of happiness, is by Maya. And even though we're hearing it, we still, because we're so conditioned by the senses, by the mind, the powerful horses are wanting to enjoy life after life. We've been very humbly subservient to the senses, that it's very difficult to let go. Daivihesha gunamayi mama maya daratyaya. Mamevaye prapajante mayami tangtarantite. This divine energy of Krishna is very difficult to overcome. So we're being driven to enjoy, but Krishna is saying that I've created this varnashram system, chatur varnyang mayasrishtam guna karma vibhagasha. Krishna is the creator. There's brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. This varnashram order and varnashram dharma is scientifically created by Krishna so that we can go through the various orders. Even though Lord Rishabhadev, being the Supreme Lord, he followed the tradition just as Krishna. They went to Gurukul. What are they going to learn? They're omniscient. They're all-knowing. They know everything. But still, they go to Gurukul and as if learning something. And then they may even, like Krishna had taken so many wives and had children. And the Varnashram Dharma, the example is being followed. Lord Chaitanya very briefly went to school, performed his various childhood activities, even married twice, and then very quickly took the sannyas order. So he did a very abbreviated version of Varnashram Dharma, that, okay, here it is, going to school, attached to family, now get married, yes, okay, now take sannyas, and perform his transcendental activities. We're not imitating, and we're not going to try to analyze or judge Lord Rishabhadev, or I read something yesterday about, they were discussing about Lord Jesus, many things you didn't know about him, but they were describing in a very mundane way. And being embodied, knowing our own shortcomings, our own faults, you know, become angry, you become disturbed, you become agitated. So they were trying, they were applying material qualities, you know, trying to observe and describe him in a way, to a philosophical way. So we can't try to say, oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada, he went to school, but he was bewildered until he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He performed business like an ordinary businessman, but then being frustrated, it didn't all work out, so he took up spiritual life and traveled to America and saved the world. So we could have a mundane perspective, but this is Krishna's leela, Krishna's pastimes. If you see the qualities of the pure devotee, you see Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, family, government, but pure devotee in his teachings, he would lament that, oh, I've wasted my time in this mundane education, pursuit of happiness. What pleasure is there in family and children and relatives and reputation and wealth? You know, all his songs and prayers, even the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the great acharyas. This is scripture. And it's like giving the example. When you're learning some lessons, there's examples of the lesson to be learned. And then you can practice it following the examples. So Srila Prabhupada is taking our hand and showing us how to do it. And Lord Rishabhadev, he was feeling compassionate for the lost, fallen, conditioned souls, and we are among them. I was thinking this morning, while hearing lecture of Prabhupada, this Ugra Karma, this industry, how long has it been going on? A few hundred years? You know, if you think back thousands of years, especially here in India, people are living on the land, they're growing all their vegetables and the fruit trees are there, the cows are grazing on the grass and producing dung, the miracle, everything's growing because of the medicinal qualities of the bulls are tilling the fields, the families are living very peacefully. So now we have so much internet and satellites and buildings, huge buildings, that every river in the world is practically polluted. You got the smoke just bellowing out of all these industries, and people have left the villages and left the simple life of clean air and harmony to come to the noisy city, be packed up in a hot factory. I remember my brother in Buffalo, New York, we had Bethlehem Steel. Every day he'd go to the work in the steel mill. He'd come back completely black. All day you're like shoveling this coal in a nasty atmosphere. Also, Prabhupada tells that story of the, in Sheffield, the coal mining industry was there. And their whole life, they're working in coal mines under the ground. And there was a preacher teaching about Lord Jesus, and he was telling all the workers, the inmates, that you must surrender to God, God representative, Jesus. What's his number? You know, they thought he was one of them, one of the workers there. He said, no, it's not like that. And he was trying to describe the miseries. He says, otherwise you'll be stuck in miserable life. It like damp, dark, you know, suffering of the material world. But their whole life was that, living in a dark, bad smelling place. And he said, but where is it? No, there's no newspapers. he mentioned that, you know, oh, how horrible that the material life would be without newspaper would be horrible. So he was trying to encourage, just like we're hearing of the spiritual world, the transcendental world where Krishna is playing with his cowherd boys, the beautiful water, the chirping birds, the peacocks, beautiful flowers, nice singing, dancing, playing. We think it's a fairy tale, but this is a picture of the spiritual world. Just like if you want to go on vacation, you take the brochure, and in that brochure, it shows you pictures and it shows you can go boating and there's beautiful, this is going on, that's going on. So it becomes attractive, and your motivation and your determination is increased so that you want to go to that place. So Srimad Bhagavatam and Lord Rishabhadev is teaching that we have to give up the pursuit for materialistic life, for this temporary life, and take up the practice of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Nine processes of devotional service. Hearing Everyone's hearing something mundane. The newspapers are full of mundane activities. Is Russia going to fight Ukraine? Are they going to take over here? The airplane was lost, and what happened to it? It was a suicide mission. This person killed that person. This one person was raped, and that person was... It's all about birth, disease, old age, and death, suffering, repeatedly in this world. And we think, why would I want to stay here? And the process is being given to us that we have to hear. So instead of hearing mundane activities, we should hear about Krishna. Hear the holy name. Every day we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you're on the bus, in the car, on the subway, walking here and there, you can always chant Hare Krishna. There's no hard and fast rules. So this is a great treasure, and no one can take it away from you. Prahlad Maharaj was being threatened by Hiranyakashipu in so many ways, with poison, with elephants and various weapons, spears and swords and demonic personalities. But Prahlad Maharaj was taking shelter of Krishna in his holy name, so Krishna was protecting his devotee. And when Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were discussing spiritual matters, when asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy said that the goal of life is to follow Varnashram Dharma. And this is true, that we have to establish society in such a way they can systematically make spiritual advancement. But Lord Chaitanya dismissed that. Yes, that is external. And there are many stages. So the Lord, He's above. He's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am not a brahmachari, I am not a grihastha, a vanaprastha, sannyasi, gopi, bharatu, padakamariyo, dasa, das, dasanu das. I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, the maidservants of Krishna. So our duty is to take shelter of the pure devotee, the Mahatma. Mahatma, you know, this opens the path of liberation. And by following the instructions of the Guru, and what are the Guru's instructions? That we ourselves become Krishna conscious. And how do we do that? That we have to increase our desire for the taste of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, although you have given hundreds and thousands, millions of names, I have no taste. I have no taste for the holy name. So even great personalities are giving us examples that we may not have a taste for chanting, might find it difficult to even chant 16 rounds, which is actually the minimum required dosage. If you have a severe disease and the doctor says minimum, you take at least this much medicine, otherwise you'll relapse. Again, the disease will overtake your body and you're going to die. So our conditioning is so strong that unless we take our medicine of chanting the holy name, unless we take the medicine of staying in the association of devotees, worshipping Tulsi Devi, living in the holy dham, taking prasadam, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the lectures of the devotees, the pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, also his sincere followers. Just like in the army, you may have the president, and then they have generals and various commanders all the way down the line. It's not that, oh, because you're only a captain, you're only a sergeant, you're not the general, I'm not listening to you. That we try to follow systematically all those who are authorized representatives, because this is very systematic. In the modern world, people are Shudras. Everyone in Kali Yuga is born a Shudra. We're all born as Shudras. So previously, if one was born in a Brahmana family, he was considered, oh, he is the Brahmana. Oh, he's in the Kshatriya line. And this was mistakenly taken as the caste system. And many times it was wrongly understood as the caste system. But the point is that Rupa Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada have very strongly preached that it's by quality, that if you're born as a son of a judge, doesn't qualify you to sit in the judge's chair. If you're born as a son of a policeman, doesn't make you a policeman. Just because you're born in a good family, that's your good fortune. That shows that you, previously you performed pious activities, because being born in a low family, being born diseased, being born in an impoverished condition, these are actually due to sinful activities. But one is not limited to that. If one takes up this process of yajna, sacrifice must be performed. Because without sacrifice, there's no rain. Without rain, there's no grains and no food, and no one can live or survive. In previous ages, there were different kinds of sacrifices. In this age, Kali Yuga, there's a Sankirtan Yajna, Jagnai Sankirtan Priyaya Janti Hi Sumedha Saha, that Varnashrama Charvata Purushena Parakpuman Vishnu Arajate, that by satisfying Vishnu, by performing our duties in a systematic, scientific way, Vishnu is pleased. But people are not being trained, so they're all Shudras. And with this so-called democratic elections, they elect another Shudra who is blind and doesn't really understand the truth or goal of life. So all they do is fight. It's all about money and fighting and who can get more possessions. So in the Vedic system, the Brahmanas, who are actually qualified Brahmanas by culture, education, and good training, they would guide the leader Kshatriyas. And the leader Kshatriyas are those who are governing and taking care of the welfare of all the citizens. So Prabhupada wanted to establish this Varnashram Dharma, and we're, you know, tripping along, skipping along, trying to figure out how to establish Varnashram Dharma in the climate of Kali Yuga. But I feel simply by continually reading very sincerely Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, hearing the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, chanting the holy name, as we cleanse ourselves, cleanse our own heart, cleanse our mind, then Krishna within our heart will manifest the knowledge. He'll give us guidance. He'll give us remembrance of our existence in the spiritual world with Krishna. He'll give us remembrance of, what am I doing here? What am I doing in this material world? Why am I wasting my time in something that will all be taken away from me? It's like the small child on the bank of the ocean. They're building nice sand castles, sometimes very intricate, and the parent says, okay, time to go home. And then the wave comes and just completely demolishes that very nice sandcastle that the kids worked all day hard on. And that's what we do. We're working very, very hard to accumulate big bank balance, big wealthy, big reputation. Oh, such a big man. Oh, he's so powerful. I wish I had that kind of money. How many chapatis can we eat? Everyone is eating. Everyone has a little place to lie down. Everyone has the nectar of being in the holy dham. It's described that one should not accumulate more than necessary. Because if we get this wealth due to our addictions to sense gratification, again, where are we going to use that wealth? Unless we're very, very intelligent and pious that we utilize the wealth for propagating and spreading Krishna consciousness. But generally, that's not the case. That if we have some extra wealth, let me buy myself that second special fancy car, you know, and have at least 10 or 15 houses. There was one candidate running for presidency some years ago, and he had like 12 or 13 huge houses, mansions in different places. He actually lost count how many houses they were interviewing him. Yeah, I forget how many houses I have. It's like we're thinking the more and more I accumulate in this world, the more wealth and the more toys I can have, the happier I'll be. But also we should not misunderstand that. Because the Vaishnav, our philosophy, according to the teaching of Rupa Goswami, is that we see everything and we utilize everything in Krishna's service. Doesn't mean that Prabhupada should not be picked up in the best of cars, or that devotees should not utilize the airplane or the computer for spreading Krishna consciousness, or get on the bullet and go to Jamunotri. No problem. We have to have a common sense to understand how to use everything in Krishna's service, but at the same time be careful that we, because it's very dangerous when you're shaving. If you're shaving very rapidly without attention, what happens? You cut yourself. So our life is moving along, and it's like you have to pay attention to how we're conducting our activities. Or even you're walking on a street, if you're not looking down, sometimes there's holes. Unexpectedly, I remember one Gurukula boy, I think it's Kishore, they were in school with my sons in Mayapur, and they were running and playing, and all of a sudden his foot went into a hole and he broke his leg. So we have to be careful, because there's danger at every step in this material existence, without doubt. And generally, family life means distraction from spiritual life. This is mundane family life. And if we are simply absorbed, just like the story of Ajamil, he was performing very nice activities, he was very dedicated, somehow he got distracted by a prostitute, then he dedicated his time and energy simply for family, for sense gratification, doing all kinds of corrupt, illegal activities, mounting up all the sinful activities. Somehow at the point of death, though, he remembered, due to good fortune, his son, Narayan. He called out Narayan, maybe not thinking of the Supreme Lord, just his son. He was attached to his son. So we're part of a culture where we name our sons and daughters spiritual names. So even if we are attached, calling out their name is very beneficial for us. See how Krishna is dovetailing everything in Krishna's service. And Krishna, he was not unappreciative, say, oh, you became a rascal, so forget you. No, he sent the Vishnu Dutas. He sent his representatives. And he gave Ajamil the opportunity to see, oh God, how I've wasted my life, how I've deviated so much from the path that somehow or other I've, you know, caused so much pain and anguish. But my Lord is so merciful and so kind that again he's picking me up from the sewer and washing me off and giving me another chance. That book, The Second Chance. How many of us have been given a second chance? Have you messed up? Has anyone made any mistakes in life? Things that you've regretted? Things that you've done that you thought, oh, how stupid that was, you know? They say hindsight is 20/20. When you look it back, your vision is focused and clean because you think, oh, that was a very ignorant mistake, and I hopefully I don't make the same mistake twice. So we've made the same mistake twice, 10 billion, 10 trillion times. So we're just wandering souls. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. We're wandering throughout the universe, throughout various forms of life, but now we have the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful incarnation. We have the teachings of the Goswamis. We have an opportunity by Prabhupada's grace to chant the holy name, to visit the holy dham, have association of other enthusiastic devotees. We ourselves may be unqualified and unenthusiastic, but if we stay in the midst of those who are sincerely following the process of devotional service, the path of bhakti, then we're fulfilling the purpose, the mission of the human form of life. Otherwise, we're wasting the human life on a broken pieces of glass, you know. But we have a jewel, we have a gem of Sri Vrindavan Dham and the opportunity for devotional service. So we should appreciate, as the chapters progress, Lord Rishabhadev's instructing all his sons about the process of self-realization, the pitfalls of material existence, the illusion of the flickering happiness, which is the mirage, the taunting of Maya, and also teaching how to get out of this temporary suffering and achieve eternal life, transcendental life, because all these industries will crash. They cannot endure, you know, the automotive industry and the pollution and the so-called technology. Krishna will destroy everything in due course of time. We're thinking in a very limited way, oh, 100 years, a few thousand years. What about hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years? All the yugas going in cycle, one after another, after another, after another. So for us, we're like little frogs in a well, looking at our little well, thinking this is everything. But Krishna's beyond our comprehension, and this material existence may not be analyzed by our keen intelligence, but it is being delivered to us very nicely by Krishna, by God Himself, who is the author of Srimad Bhagavatam, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, the friend of Arjuna and all our friend. And He wants us to not suffer. He wants that we can become happy again in the association of other eternally liberated souls. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any questions, comment? Anyone like to? Yes, Prabhu. No, it must be Parvati. I'm not answering it, though. Yes, what's the question?
In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, seventh chapter, Esatam Turakam Papam Jnanam Purakam, Devam Yudhu Mukta Kaste Mandirvaya. Those who flee from the false sin, past life and this life, they can do, those who flee from duality, they can do pure devotion.
Yes.
So it says, Shastra says, even chanting of one name of the Lord, we free from the false sin.
Yes.
So we are chanting the name of Lord, but at the same time we are not doing pure devotion. So this means we are not free from the sin.
Well, it's described like the elephant. He goes in the river and he bathes very nicely. Very nicely he's bathing. He's all clean. Then he comes out and throws dust all over himself again. So, you know, we're chanting the holy name, and the name has great potency. But due to, you know, the pure chanting, we're trying to evoke pure chanting also. We're trying to get free from offenses, free from sinful activities. Although the name is all powerful, it may cleanse us, but due to our dirty heart and dirty mind, we again throw the dirt on ourselves. So the repeated chanting of the name of the Lord, the association of devotees, and following the rules and regulations will give us enough strength and enough intelligence so that we don't come out and throw dirt all over ourselves again. So we are free the moment of chanting, but very quickly we become covered over due to the nature of our conditioning and our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. It's a very long, complicated affair, but we should know the medicine is very powerful. We may not know how the medicine is working, but it has the effect. So continue chanting and stop throwing the dirt. Some other question? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for your lecture. I wanted to ask you, many times we hear in lectures this fact that we are going to die, each one of us. And for this one moment that you hear this, this is real, this is so practical, all this knowledge which is coming to just wake you for this realization is so important. And then the lecture over and the senses, they pick you up and they carry you to another direction, and this realization becomes like failures and all the senses desires. So what is there any recommendation? How can we actually live that way to remember that this day can become our last, and that all this knowledge, all these practices are really important and urgent for this moment, in each moment.
Yeah, so how do we take seriously, like when we're hearing about that everyone is dying and the sufferings, at that moment we may appreciate it, but very quickly we forget the importance. It's like an animal, you know, a dog comes to the door looking for food, and you go away. But then, because the animal is an animal, it comes back again over and over and over again. So we're like animals in one sense. We have not come to a human platform that we're not really appreciating the sufferings and the reality of the temporal nature of material world. So it comes with practice, and that, you know, that giving up or also taking shelter, because Arjuna said, well, it's more difficult to control my mind than the raging, like the raging wind. How can I do it? So Krishna said, with constant practice and detachment, but ultimately the key ingredient is surrender to Krishna, because Krishna will give us help. If we genuinely want help, Krishna knows, he's in our heart, and he will help us by giving us good association, guiding us. And then, you know, when you're ready to find fault, you think, oh, that's not a good idea. And, you know, when you start taking this process cheaply, Krishna will start reminding you. So although constant practice and detachment is required, the essential ingredient, like if you're making a good cake, if you, like the other day, I think we had some, I had some sandesh, I thought, wow, no sugar. Oh, what happened? You know, you're expecting sandesh. So it's like, you may have many, many ingredients, but unless you take shelter of Krishna, you can't overcome the mind, the senses, and we're always going to be tricked over and over again.
You just mentioned that it is not possible to control mind, and at the same time you said that one should surrender to Krishna. But surrender to Krishna itself means controlling mind and aligning the mind to Krishna's desire.
Right.
So how do you basically, you know, resolve this dichotomy?
So Prabhupada says that, I said you cannot control the mind, but we have to control the mind to surrender to Krishna. So we're caught up in a little difficult situation here. Yes, this is, the mind is actually the guru. He helps you control it. You can't do it on your own. And in one sense you say, well, you need the good mind to surrender to guru. Yeah, it goes on and on like that, but somehow cause this mercy. You're very, very Bhagyavan, one who's very fortunate. He gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And then everything will fall into proper place and proper order. So if you have enough sense to know that Prabhupada, my Guru, you know, is giving us the essential thing, if you have faith in the doctor, then go ahead and just take your medicine, and then the disease will go away. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.